You can sense, can't you, in our children this day that the Easter spirit lives. It is still alive for us. And I hope that you sense in this Easter and the Holy Week that we went through last week that Easter was alive and is alive. So I encourage you to think for me this morning as we move into Eastertide, as we continue in this Easter season, to think about what you wish to carry through in that spirit as you live into the future God has for you. Maybe you think back to that week just past as we entered triumphantly into Jerusalem with the leadership of our youth, the energy that they brought to that service. Perhaps you think back to Maundy Thursday as to what it was like to gather with Jesus at the table in that sense that we too were invited to gather with him that night. Maybe you were here trying to keep up with your children in the Easter egg dyeing and hunt and the many hands that made that possible, the smiles, the joy, the love that showed forth on an early Saturday morning. Maybe you were there at Easter sunrise where two of our newest members led the music that day. And the sun actually rose both Saturday and Sunday in glorious spirit. Or maybe you were here Sunday morning as we celebrated Easter worship, as we celebrated having back in our pulpit Pastor Siobhan. Those things didn't all just happen, but they were a group effort. A total group effort that showed forth the welcome of this place, the invitation, the joy, the love that flows. So as we do today, the disciples gathered after Easter too. We only read two of the lectionary passages from the cycle of stories that we read in these three-year sections, but the disciples were gathering together in all of those, sometimes in fear, sometimes in disbelief, sometimes in an awesome sense that they had indeed been empowered by this event, this rising from the dead, this Jesus they had followed so intensely, who was somehow gone but still with them. The pastor of Gloria Dei, a Lutheran church, Santiago Rodriguez, our partner in the sunrise service, captured that at the sunrise service, I thought, really well. When people die, you know what's supposed to happen. But when they rise, anything can happen. We know what to expect when people die. We expect them to stay dead, Santiago said. But when the dead rise, there's no telling what may happen. And that sense of Easter expectancy raises all sorts of possibilities. In rising from the dead and those deepest places of sin, Christ opens a world of possibilities for his disciples and a world of possibilities for us who live this side of Easter. The impossible becomes possible in Christ's rising. Nothing is off limits, even the winter that is behind us. In the unexpected sunshine of last weekend and this weekend gave testimony to that bright hope. Keeping our focus on this mystery and its power, the powerful reality of hope beyond hope in the midst of a doubting and fearful world means keeping Easter and living as an Easter people. That is a message which is so counter to what we see around us in the culture of these days, a culture which literally screams out in hopelessness at times. It's more of the same. Nothing can change. Barbara Johnson has said that we are to be, and we are, an Easter people living in a Good Friday world. But Easter hope says that we live otherwise in a world of pain. And the four lectionary passages speak to that, this kind of living Easter, a season that calls forth the best of living into the best of life and makes the possible seems possible even out of impossibility. I don't know if any of you had the chance to see the long interview with Faden Santana, the person who saw this, who took the cell phone video of this week's police killing in South Carolina, a story too common in our news these days. I was really impressed with him. His grounded instinct and follow-through commitment to do the right thing, even in risking his own self to do it. He came forward with that recording when he heard the lie about the shooting being told by the police officer. And then he stood up, and he stands up still speaking truth to power. I saw one clip a little bit later of just an incredible calm in this young man. Matter-of-factness, humility, love and care for justice. This, to me, speaks of Easter possibility in the face of pain and evil. Coming together and standing up for the life that Jesus calls us to, a life of peace, justice, and healing for all God's people. That's what these lectionary passages this week have to say to us. And yet, the lectionary has a very curious way of showing that forth in its organization about Easter living. I didn't pick one of the passages, the gospel passage, which is a familiar story to many of us, the story of Doubting Thomas, we call it. In all 3 years of the lectionary cycle, every Sunday after Easter, the gospel text is Doubting Thomas. One of the readings for all of those 3 years. If you don't remember the story or haven't heard it, Thomas is this disciple who was somewhere else after the resurrection. We don't know where when Jesus first came around to meet the disciples in that room that was locked because they were scared. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came, John writes. He was the one who said, "I must see for myself before I will believe it." And Jesus came to him. Jesus came to him and let him see and touch and believe. And Thomas, like the other disciples, went out with that power. I think we need to think about and stop and ask the question, why did the organizers of the lectionary crafting this preaching cycle give such prominence to this one story that only appears in one gospel? And why that first week after Easter is it so easy for us to forget the Easter life that we have been given? I think we get a clue about that story and the wrestling that we have as people of faith living in this Good Friday world as we look at the other texts that we read today and we look at them alongside each other, which truly is the best way for Scripture to interpret it itself. Psalm 133, which Matt read, the joy of living together in unity, the mystery of the blessing of life forevermore that can be ours in Christ, this Easter message. The Acts passage also that we didn't read in Acts 4 talks about the disciples coming together with all that they had and sharing all things in common. John's first letter we read today reminds us that this light of Jesus, is ours. New life in Easter, if we would keep our focus there, if we would work together, as Luke tells us in Acts. The season of Lent just passed has asked us to look at ourselves at our deepest levels and to bring that honestly before God that we might experience this great gift of transformation that Easter gives, from death to life. The gift of Easter is the recognition that no matter how deep our darkest moments, our worst sins, our separation from God, that does not have the final word, as Marcus reminded us this day. Easter challenges us to be accountable to a God who forgives our deepest sin, not excusing those sins, but saying, today is a new day. Today is a new day. Today is a new day for hope, for healing, even when many of the days before have seemed hopeless. My mother and I have been reading over the phone together. Well, I've been the one reading, but been reading over the phone together the book group selection for the retirement home where she lives, The Art of Racing in the Rain. How many of you have read this book by Garth Stein? Oh, you gotta get it. You gotta get it. The Art of Racing in the Rain is a philosophy of life for people at the end of life, shared by a up-and-coming, as he puts it, race car driver's dog, Enzo. Enzo, the dog, has heard his owner, Denny, the race car driver, say that the secret of good racing, in the rain or otherwise, is to remember that which you manifest is before you. See, where we look, where we focus, is so much what we become. That which you manifest is before you. Where our eyes and our hearts focus, there we travel. So today, this Easter day, this Easter season is a day for hope, for healing, even when many of the days before have seemed hopeless. This is the new life that we are promised, as John captures it in his first letter. We have seen this in Easter, and we yearn for it to continue to be true as we are in fellowship with one another, holding all things in common. For when one hurts, we all hurt, and we all have something to offer one another, even if that piece seems so small. Those offerings add up. The Easter message of Christ comes to earth to save us from our sins, our very selves, this new life promised in the resurrection. And it demands that our lives change too. For Luke writing Acts, that meant the sharing together of what we have. Before worship this morning, your coffee hour was being set up by our youngest members. Helena Harrison leading the group, because she's helped many times in that offering. She walked in and she said, "Can I set up coffee hour?" And she organized a group of a dozen people that were here, a dozen of her friends that were here to set up your coffee hour. There were no adults in sight. None. What a gift. A gift where we can welcome all of the gifts of God's people. We've seen that in the ways in which you've been caring for one another in recent weeks, in childcare, in food, in rides, in prayers fervently offered, in all kinds of gifts shared with one another. Gifts that enable texts to come to us that say, "The news isn't very good, but somehow I'm still encouraged." And with the community seeking to reach out to those new to our midst to welcome here. You are holding what we have in common and offering it up, and it is a word of life. It is a word of hope. The days ahead will be brighter. They already are, if we look outside this morning, because of this Easter message, through the power of this God who is the God of the whole world. As we were reminded in these texts. Do we do it perfectly? Of course not. But that too is the power of the message this Sunday, that even out of doubt can come faith, that even as we see in a mirror dimly, we will see face to face, and it will lead us to places we can scarcely comprehend with an energy that we never knew we had. We see glimpses and glimmers in the power of Easter resurrection, life out of death. May it be so as we reach to keep Easter in a Good Friday world, to be bearers of light and hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, his powerful message of truth, as we seek to follow where he alone would lead us. As John writes in this letter, this life was revealed to us, and we have seen it and testify to it and will declare to you the eternal life that was revealed. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Our advocate is Jesus himself, not just for us, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise be to God. Amen.